All right, if y'all will gather back in, grab your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter. If you're using a pew Bible, it's going to be on page 588, if you're using one of the pew Bibles. If you need a Spanish-English parallel, we've got a couple up here in the front. We've got a couple in the back on the shelves. If you'd like a parallel Spanish-English to follow along with, you can grab one of those. All right. We're moving along in our series. We've got this week and next week talking about Christian maturity. We're probably not going to bang it all out in 4 weeks, right? But then we've got Palm Sunday, we've got Easter, so we'll see what happens after those dates. But we're talking today about our minds. Anybody have trouble in here? Yeah, pretty much. And we're going to explore ever so briefly, because it's a complicated topic. The connection and scripture and teaching about our minds and the connection between our mind and our heart and what the development of our mind and our heart in Christ means to Christian maturity. Because one of the things that defines maturity in general is you're growing, right? You're not the same as you were last month, last week, last year. 5 years ago, 10 years ago, you've grown. You might have gotten taller. You might have gotten broader. We have our friends from Ukraine, Roman and Marina, Mariana, aren't here today. But in Ukraine, if somebody says you're looking good, that means you've gained weight. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. You know, so that could be part of maturity. You're looking good. It means something totally different now, doesn't it? But maturity is growth. We don't want to be the same people we are today in Christ that we were last year. And I hope you want to be somewhere further down the road next year. But I fear that a lot of times in church we get comfortable, we get complacent, and if we're not careful, we look back a year later and nothing's really changed. And so we're talking about maturity in light of where we're at and where we need to go. So we're going to be in 1 Peter, talking about the mind. The mind's complicated. I don't know about you, my mind can trip me up. I think I know something, or I understand something, or I'm prepared for something, and then something happens, and then it's just, anybody? Anybody else have that? It's just a mess. Reality hits. You realize your mind is weak, and failure looms. So as we study these, I hope you'll be challenged to take steps into maturity. 1 Peter 1, we're going to read 13 to 16, and then we're going to read another passage out of Romans. Here's what it says. It says, therefore, preparing your mind for actions and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And then in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that'll be page 552 in your pew Bibles. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to prepare your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we unpack these and one other passage today, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to turn our minds over to you, Lord, and help us examine that connection between the mind and the heart. Lord, help us to understand what Peter's talking about here, that we might come to the place where we can prepare our minds, that we can set our minds, that we can resist conforming and be conformed to the image of Christ. Lord, we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So these passages talk about two really important points that we're going to cover. We're going to talk about your mind, and we're going to talk about what your mind becomes conformed to. So first, in 1 Peter, he says, prepare your minds for action, therefore preparing your minds for action. And he says how to do it. He says, set your hope. So we have to set our hope. I don't know about you, but in preparing, do you get up in the morning? I hope you do this. And you take some time with the Lord. Is this part of your prayer? Lord, prepare my mind today for action. He tells us where to go to set that hope, to set that mind in action. He says, set it upon the hope that you have in Christ. Set your hope fully upon Christ. So that's something I think we have to do, I would say daily, but for some of us, most of us, me, that may be something I have to do several times a day. Because I'm going through the day, I may have risen in the morning, I may have spent time with the Lord, I may have set my mind on the Lord, but then something happens. Does anything ever happen to you? Yeah. Something happens, and all of a sudden, where is your mind set? On that thing. It might be something good, it might be something bad, it might be something sinful, it might be something righteous, it just depends. But our mind and the control of it and the focus of it gets wrestled away from being set upon Christ. So I think that's something we have to remind ourselves hour by hour, moment by moment, is that we set our hope upon Christ. Now, how do we do that? Romans 12, 1 and 2 that we read talks about that. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Did you know your mind needed to be renewed? Did you know your mind was warped? I hope you knew that. I hope there wasn't a surprise. You came to church today and you found out your mind was warped. I didn't know that. No, you should know that. If you're honest with yourself, you know that your mind is warped. We can transform our mind by renewing it in Christ, by filling it with the Word, by spending time in fellowship with one another, by renewing it. I looked up the definition for renew because, you know, I love definitions. It says this: to give fresh life or strength to something. Renewing your mind is giving fresh life or fresh strength to your mind, not through your own strength, not through your own energy or your own input, but through the input of God, inputting into your mind. But there's another definition that I read, and it says this: to resume an activity after an interruption. You know what I think happened? God created us. He made Adam and Eve, remember, the image bearers in the garden? He created them according to a pattern. Everything else just out of his creative mind, he said, let there be a dog and a cat and a bird and whatever, and it just was. But when he made men and women, he used a pattern, and he created them in his own image. And he said, Adam and Eve, created in my image, go. Here's your mind. Here's your heart. Go live. Go learn. Go love. Go steward the world I've given you. And you know what I think happened is there was an interruption. Remember? Sin. They ate. They chose to be their own gods instead of follow God. God had to send them out of the garden. And you know in Romans it says he abandoned not them, Adam and Eve, but people who were following after sin, abandoned them to the thoughts and impulses of their mind and their heart. And that's what happens when sin enters in. It wrestles the control away from God in our mind and in our hearts. So there's an interruption. You have an interrupted signal in a phone call. I get those all the time in Chicago. We get them all the time in Montana when we lived there. There were these mountain passes. Whenever you go over a mountain pass, Liddy, I'd be on the phone. I'd say, I'm about to go over a mountain pass. I'll talk to you on the other side. I don't know why, but in mountain passes in Montana on the interstates, there's no cell phone coverage. No why. No idea why. It was an interrupted signal. That's what happened when sin entered into our life. It interrupted the connection that we have with God, and it disrupts everything in our life. It disrupts the way we think. It disrupts the way we feel. Do you remember what it says in Scripture about the heart? The heart is evil. The heart is untrustworthy. You can't trust the heart. The heart, it doesn't say this, but the heart wants what the heart wants. Anybody ever said that to you? It does. Because it's disrupted and it's disconnected and it's been removed from a connection with God. And so we have to renew that connection. And I think we have to renew that connection day by day and moment by moment. Because if you're like me, you're going through the day connected with God and all of a sudden something happens and you're like, oh wait, it's like the cell phone. You pull it out and you're on the phone and then the phone call goes away and it says, call dropped. Do you guys get that message? Call failed, I think it says on iPhone. That happens with me. Call failed. It's like, wait, I thought I was connected with God, but all of a sudden something else came into my mind. Call failed. And we have to renew that connection with the Father. They are good definitions. Our mind need fresh life. Our heart and our life and our mind need to be strengthened. But I really love the second definition because to me it speaks to that constant connection we must have with the Father. So if you take anything away from today, don't take this. Don't go into your day thinking, because I had a connection with the Lord in the morning, the whole day is just set. We have to work at that. We have to constantly talk to the Father. We have to constantly be in communion with the Father. We have to constantly be filling our minds with the right things, and we're going to move to that because the second part of this, these two passages, talks about what our minds become conformed to. Now, you know, when something becomes conformed, it changes shape. I brought some object lessons. You got water. Water easily conforms, maybe like our minds. Right? So it's in a tall bottle, it takes this shape. If I pour it into something that's a different shape, it'll take that shape too. If I pour it on the floor, it'll take the shape of a puddle, and I'll probably slip and fall down the stairs. And while that would be funny, it wouldn't be a very good object lesson. So you see, it changed shape. It conformed to the image of what the bottle has laid out. In 1 Peter and in Romans 12, it talks about how our mind can become conformed to the things that we are exposed to and the things that we put in it. Because it's not all just Christians saying, oh, the world did this and the world did that, and I believe that and heard that because they said it. Sometimes we're doing it to ourselves, aren't we? You ever done it to yourself with Netflix? Or YouTube, or the internet, or your cell phone. We put crap in. Did he say crap in church? We put stuff in. And it corrupts, doesn't it? It causes our mind to conform to a different way of thinking. He talks about, in 1 Peter, he says, do not become conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. In other words, before the time you came to Christ, it seems to indicate that even though you came to Christ and God made new what was old, he made good what was bad, he made whole what was broken, we can still slip into our former ignorance. And he says, don't be conformed to the passions. I think it's so interesting that this passage is talking about the mind. But he says, don't be conformed to the passions. Because I don't know about you, when I hear passion, I think heart. When I think mind, I think, and some of you might disagree, but I think logical, orderly decisions made based on fact, weighing all the pros and the cons and the potential outcomes and the decisions made. For me, it's a very logical place. You put in A, B, C, and D, and you add them, and you multiply them, and you parse them, and you come out with X, and that's the answer, and here's why. It's logical for me. But here he says passions. Peter says passions are something that drive us. But I don't think passions in the mind. I think passions in the heart. And so we're going to turn in a moment to Philippians. You can go stick your finger there in 571 because Peter talks about passions, Paul talks about passions, and in Philippians, he makes a connection between the heart and the mind. But here it seems to indicate if we're not careful, our heart can steer our thinking. Anybody ever? You know, we use the word know, we know what we should do. We've read it, we've studied it, we've ingested it, I hope. You know, it says in Scripture, we eat it. It's like honey. It's like we eat the Word of God. We literally live according to the Word of God. It's something we need to have to live. And we know it. But we have a different affection in our heart. Our affection is not Christ and his righteousness. Our affection is not following God and his will that he's laid out for, before us. It's not our affection is not the spiritual journey that Christ died in order that we would have, that he could conform us into our image, into his image, and that we would become more and more like him and lead people also to know Christ. That affection steers us away from that because we do exactly what Peter said not to do. We become conformed to passions we had when we were in ignorance. Whatever those passions are, you know what they are. I know what mine are. Those are the affections of the heart that wrestle with the knowledge we have in the mind, which is why he says the things he says, Peter and Paul in here, talking about setting your mind, spending time with the Lord, putting in the things we need to put in, resisting putting in the things we know we shouldn't put in, knowing that putting in bad things, wrong things, ungodly things is going to steer our thinking and our passions in the wrong direction. So he says, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. You know what happens? I'm going to turn this on so it can start warming up. Maybe. There we go. Oh, I'm going to plug it in too. That always helps. Jordan said, don't die because I'm going to plug it right in right here. So now y'all can watch and see if I trip over it. There we go. Nice blue light. Paul in Romans 12 says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, which is to say there's a pattern in this world of doing things, a way of living, a way of understanding, a way of relating one to another that steers us away from the pattern that God has laid out for us. So we have to be aware of these things. There are passions, there's heart, there's feelings, there's desires, there's things that are steering us away from right thinking. There are things that steer us away from right feeling. And we have to be aware of what those are because they will conform our mind to a different shape. Our mind is supposed to be this shape, but it's instead we conform it to another shape. So what do we do instead? Romans 12 has the answer. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to have our mind renewed. We have to have our mind refreshed. We have to allow God to strengthen it. We have to actually take time to do that. We can pray about it. But unless we actually put in something, it's going to conform to some other shape. And it's going to steer our passions, and it's going to steer our desires. Philippians 4, if you've turned there, we're going to read verses 6 through 8, page 571 in your pew Bibles. Philippians 4. Starting in verse 6, it says this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And listen to this part. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting? God made a provision. A special provision for you and I that there would be protection for our heart and our mind and that we would find that written in his word. So we wonder, how do we overcome the things that attack us? How do we overcome the passions? How do we overcome the things that go on in our heart and our mind and the wrestling matches that we have over sin? How do we overcome those? He has said it right here. I'm going to read it again, 6. Do not be anxious about anything. That's really pointed, isn't it? That's kind of like saying, well, I'm hungry, and the answer is, don't eat. That's hard, right? For me, don't be anxious is tough. Anybody else? Because it's like human nature to be anxious. We obsess about stuff. I got up this morning, and I couldn't find the pair of shoes I wanted to wear. And I looked under the bed, and I looked in the closet, and I looked in the closet downstairs, and I looked under the dining room table. I looked in both cars. I don't know why. I just thought maybe they might be in the car. I had no reason to expect they'd be in the car, but I looked there anyway. I came back in the house. I looked under the bed again. Lydia said, don't obsess about the shoes. That's just, it's like, okay, I wanted to wear those shoes, now I'm wearing black shoes, I wanted to wear brown shoes, so I'm wearing black shoes instead. I didn't want to wear black shoes, I wanted to wear brown shoes. So I obsess about it, I get anxious about it, I get worried about it. That's just where the mind goes. You get anxious about the things that bother you, that irritate you, the things that are out of your control. It's really a control issue, isn't it? You get anxious because you know there's something happening, you're unsure about the outcome, you're unsure what's going to happen, you know you can't control it, you hope for the best, you expect the worst. What does he say to do instead? Do not be anxious about anything. Just don't do it. I want a better answer than that. It's like, don't walk on the grass. Why? Just don't. Don't be anxious. Why? Just don't. Don't be anxious. But he does give us something to do. He says, instead, in everything, by prayer and supplication, which is request, right? By prayer and request and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Does your mind battle with your heart over the wrong affections? You need to have a new affection. Your affection has to be set upon Christ. Isn't that what Peter said? Do we need to go back and read that? He said, we do. I think we do. He said, prepare your minds for action. Set your hope fully on the grace that was brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So in other words, set your heart, set your mind on Christ. Pray. Do you see there's a transformation going on in our hot pot? I love that it's made of glass because you can see what's happening in there. We'll let it keep transforming and see what happens. So it says, do not be anxious, but in everything by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then there's a promise. I love promises in Scripture. This is not a formula, A plus B equals C. This is a promise. God's saying, if you trust me in this, your anxiety, your worries, your fears, all of the things are out of your control. If you trust me with these things, by prayer, by supplication, thanking me for what you have, and who you are, and the life you have, and the situation you're in, even if it's a trial. Did anybody read the blog? I wrote about trials yesterday. You're going to have trials of many kinds. Anybody up to James reading with us? Yeah. You trust God with those trials, with those anxieties. He promises to give you something that surpasses all understanding. Peace that you don't understand. It's just peace. And you can go, whew. You ever had that moment where the weight's lifted? It's like, oh, whew, weight's off. I don't have to worry about the outcome. I don't have to worry about, I'm going to pop the top on this, see what comes out. Hey, there's steam. Who knew? Transformation's taking place in there. He says, do not be anxious. In everything in prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you need guarding for your heart and mind in Christ Jesus? I do. I'm going to be honest with you. I think if we were all honest with each other and with ourselves, we'd be like, yeah, I absolutely have to have that. I need that. I need God to protect my heart and my mind. Can you guys see the steam? There's transformation. If the water could talk, I think it might be saying, this is a really uncomfortable transformation. My atoms are getting, like, separated. They're getting, my molecules are being pushed apart, and I'm changing from water in liquid form to water in steam form. There's a transformation going on here that I want you to think about. Because when we talk about being transformed by God, instead of being conformed into the image of the world, it's going to require some change, and it might not be very comfortable. And I wrote in the blog yesterday about the sculptor who takes a block of wood and he carves it. It was a block of wood, and he makes it into something beautiful. If the block of wood could speak, it would probably say, this hurts, because he's taken like knives and chisels and files. And he's transforming the image of that block from something that's just blocky and not really useful for much into what he sees in his mind that he wants that block to be. It's the same thing the Creator is doing with each of us. As his image bearers, it says he's conforming us into the image of Christ. He already knows what the goal is. He can look to the right and see his Son. And he says, okay, that's the goal. That's the image I have for Dick. That's the image I have for Barbara. That's the image I have for Anna. That's what I see when I look at Jesus and I look at these people, these creations, these loved ones. I want to make them into the image of my Son. Now that's a transformation. And that's what he wants to do with us. It's going to hurt a little bit. I don't think if the water could speak, it'd be real thrilled right now. Because it's changing. It's becoming something new. It's becoming something different. It's still water. Now it's water vapor, right? You're still going to be you. You're just going to be you conformed into the image of Christ. Simply put, the best way to see a real transformation in your mind, in your heart, and in your life is that God wants to actively replace what is conforming your mind with something new. He wants to put something new into your mind. He wants to put something new into your heart. So this is where we return to that hard question. What are you putting in? What are we putting into our minds? What are we putting into our hearts? What are we allowing to creep in? And we say things like, oh, it's probably okay. It's rated R. I probably can handle it. And you look and you see, what kind of rated R is it? Is it rated R for sexual content? Is it rated R for language? I could probably handle some language. Is it rated R for blood and gore? I could probably handle some blood and gore. And we make these judgments about what we decide we will and we won't do, and I don't want to stand up here and sound like I'm being legalistic and saying, well, you shouldn't do this. I'm allowing the Bible to speak, though. And I think the Bible is saying we really need to take stock of what we're putting in. Because what we put in conforms us into something different. It doesn't help us progress towards being conformed to the image of Christ. It's the opposite of that, isn't it? It's becoming conformed to the image of the world. He gives us six things. We're going to close on these. Six things, he says, to think about. I love this. He says, God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, but here are some things he says to think about. That's why I haven't read verse 8 yet. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, anything of worthy of praise, think about these things. And so I looked these up because I was interested. Some versions say noble. This one says whatever is true, but I looked that up, and it says it's having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles or ideals. What do you think about during the day? Do you think about things of high moral ideal? Do you think about excellent things? Do you think about lovely things? One of the next things he says is think about things that are right, morally good, justified, or acceptable. Think about things that are pure. This one is hard. Free of any contamination. Do you spend time thinking about pure things? It's right there in Scripture. He says, you want to have the promise of God that he will protect your heart and mind. You have a role in that. God says, I'll do my part and I'll fulfill my promise, but you have to think about some things. One of those things is pure things. Things that are free of contamination. That's what pure means. That's a hard one, isn't it? That's a tough one. That might send us home this afternoon rethinking about some of the things we're putting in. Are those pure? If you have to ask that question, is that pure enough? Then it's probably not. Lovely, he says, lovely things. Very pleasant, enjoyable, or delightful. Do you think about lovely things? Admirable things, deserving respect. Excellent things. Extremely good is what excellent is. Extremely good or outstanding. Praiseworthy. Simply meaning worthy to be admired. But I looked up the antonym for that because I love antonyms. The antonym of praiseworthy is disgraceful. Ooh. Don't think about disgraceful things. Think about graceful things. I don't think. Think about lovely things, about beautiful things. God wants to transform you. He wants to do this. You guys see it all right? Yeah. It sounds, can you hear it? Something's happening there. And he wants to do that with you. He wants to see you conformed and transformed into the image of Christ. So the question today is, are you going to allow him to do that to you? Now, we're not going to fill the baptistry next week and boil water in there and have everybody jump in, so don't worry. Although, if you come to faith in Christ, we will ask you to get baptized. The water will not be boiling. It'll just be normal temperature. But I think the question that God's leaving us with this morning is, are we willing to really do the things it requires for us to be mature? And I think churches and groups of people who are following Christ sometimes kind of step back and look at themselves and say, we're not really where we could be or should be or thought we would be, and they wonder why. I think this is the answer. We're not where we could, should, or will be because we haven't done the things yet that are required to get there. And part of that is not living like the world. Part of that is rejecting those things in favor of the things that God said are good, are pure, are holy, are noble, are excellent, are praiseworthy. So I'm going to send us out of here today with that in mind. Can you do it? Can you go through the week thinking about things that are lovely and pure and excellent and admirable and noble and praiseworthy? Can we reach out and grab that promise that Peter and Paul have laid out before us? I love that promise in Paul that if we're not anxious and we give everything to God in prayer, that he will carry it all and give us peace that transcends all understanding, and it will be a guard over our mind and a guard over our heart. So maybe there's two things. Here's a list of things to think about. And then the other one is exactly what he talks about in Philippians. Don't be anxious and give it all to the Lord. And see that he is good. And that he will bless you with peace that passes all understanding. And you can have that free feeling where it's just shake it all off. And it's like a nice sunny afternoon in the shade. You ever had a nice sunny afternoon in the shade? No problems, no worries, no work. You just kind of lay out in the sun. Last year when we had the picnic in the park, that was a good day. He wants to give us peace. But we have a part to play in that maturity. What we allow in, what we think about, and what we allow into our heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what Peter and Paul have laid out for us. Lord, we thank you that it's so challenging. I don't mean that's a crazy thing to thank you for, but Lord, we can't do it. I mean, if we're going to be honest with you and with ourselves, we can't do it, God. Which is why I love the fact that it is not all on me. You have said I have some responsibilities, and I have some things that I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to think about things. I'm supposed to pray about things. I'm supposed to allow you to have control over the things that I can't control. But in the end, Lord, you say that you're going to do the work. You're going to provide the peace. You're going to provide the guarding of my heart and my mind. And so, Lord, I think for all of us, I think it's safe to say we can't do it apart from your Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit in us. It's not possible. And so, Lord, maybe this is the time where we come before you just quietly in our seats and we pray and we talk to you and we implore you and we ask you and we beg for forgiveness and we ask, Lord, that you'll fill us anew with your Spirit, that you'll call us anew in Christ. Lord, Scripture says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We know, Lord, there's a time and a place where we accepted your Son as Lord and Savior, but the transformation is not complete, and we've got to work it out. So, Lord, I pray that you help us to work it out. Lord, I need that transformation. I need to conform into the image of Christ, Lord. That's the thing I want, but it battles within me, in my heart and in my mind, between what I want and my passions and my desires and what you want and the desires you have for my heart and my life, Lord. And Lord, you just want us to come before you and lay it all down and allow you to lead, allow you to guide, allow you to direct. Lord, help us to think about what's good, what's noble, what's lovely, what's excellent, what's admirable, what's praiseworthy, Lord, and all those superlatives. Lord, help us to fix our minds upon the grace that is revealed in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to grab a hold of these verses, Lord, to read them this week, to digest them this week, to memorize them this week, to pray them this week. Lord, that you might find us useful. Because in the end, it says we'll be able to test and approve what the will of God is. And so, Lord, we thank you that all the questions we have are answered in you. All of the questions we have are answered in your word. The problem is not that we don't know the answers. The problem is that we're usually just not willing to do it because it looks painful. I want to stay a block of wood. I want to stay a bottle of water. I want to get boiled. I don't want to get carved. I don't want to be transformed. But Lord, the change of Christ in us makes that possible. And so, Lord, I pray that once again, all of us, Lord, whether we are coming to know you for the first time this morning or we've known you for 50 years, will come before you and say, Lord, use me, change me. Forgive me for failing. Fill me anew with the Holy Spirit and allow me, Lord, to be the creation that you want me to be. Lord, as we have prayed these things, Lord, we want to pray for our community, Lord. We pray for Elmwood Park, and we pray as we have been praying for the hearts of the people in Elmwood Park, Lord, that you not only give us a new affection, but you give the people of Elmwood Park a new affection, and that affection be Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that as we prepare to do what's seemingly trivial and insignificant, an Easter egg hunt might be just the thing that we need to do to show the community that we actually are here and we care about them, that there are people and that there are a God that loves them. Lord, I pray that the preparation for this event and the execution of this event will leave us speechless, and that we'll have many, many opportunities to have gospel conversations. Oh, Lord, there's so many things we could pray for. Lord, we pray for our offering as we have given throughout the week online and as we give today. Lord, use those offerings. Use what you've given us, Lord, to reach this community. Make us faithful stewards. Lord, as we have shared communion today, Lord, we are reminded of the sacrifice of your Son, and we thank you again. Lord, I pray that as we continue to worship now, that as we have prayed, you'll receive glory and honor and praise in our voices and in the transformation of our hearts and minds. Lord, thank you for guarding my heart and my mind. May all the things that we have prayed be so, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.